Have you ever wondered why it's so hard to lose weight and eat out? Well, we're talking about that today on the podcast. So if you're trying to lose weight and you're often dining out, this can kind of be kind of sabotaging yourself, because one of the reasons why is there's a couple factors why dining out and losing weight generally don't go hand in hand. And the first one is because portions are so much larger. The sodium content is through the roof, especially on chicken, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, and really high sugar. Now, there are plenty of newer restaurants that change things up a little bit. They use a lot of fresh foods. We can, you know, pull back on some of the sodium. The portions are better sizes, but generally, these restaurants are a bit more expensive. There's one by me. I absolutely love it. But if I'm going to lunch, it's going to cost me $20. $20 for lunch. And we're not even talking like super fancy sit down white napkin lunch. We are talking about like local market busyness, sitting down, having lunch in a little cardboard takeout container. So it becomes very ineffective to eat out at these better places when you're trying to lose weight, and especially if you don't have unlimited funds, which I'm assuming if we're listening to this podcast, we probably don't have unlimited funds, because if you did, I would hope you would be in the middle of the Mediterranean soaking up the sun. But anyway, let's get back to this for a second. So, you know, these are one of the biggest problems is when we talk about trying to dine out. And, you know, the other day I was just making lunch for my husband. We both work from home often. And we have, I got this new stove, like I think about a year ago. In the center portion of the stove, it has a griddle. And one side of the griddle is like a typical like pancake griddle. And the other side is like almost like a grill. I call it my panini griddle because that's all I've ever really cooked on it is paninis. So then I have on our Blackstone for the camper, I have one of those panini presses. Let me tell you, this makes the best freaking sandwiches. So a lot of times I'll make us like sourdough paninis, and my panini's always loaded with like vegetables, cheese, kale, that kind of thing. Well, my husband, he's not eating a kale panini, and that's fine. So he usually likes his with chicken or ham or something that we've had the night before, or some cold cuts we have in the refrigerator. And I try to make it a little healthy, putting some vegetables in there, but you know how that goes. So the other day I'm making him a ham and cheese and onion and spinach panini. Don't tell him that I snuck the spinach in there. I chopped it up. I told him it was parsley. Totally wasn't parsley. We were making this and I added the amount of ham that I would normally add into a sandwich if I was making a sandwich for my kids. And then I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, well, this is going to be his main part of his meal. And he's a little bit bigger. He lifts a lot. So I try to give him higher protein amounts. So I was like, let me add in a little bit more ham. And I added in what I thought was an absurd amount of ham. So I put it on the grill. I pressed it down. Let me tell you, this was like the saddest panini sandwich ever. It was like all this ham just kind of heated down into nothingness. And I served him the panini and he loved it. But it makes me think of like when I go out to a restaurant and you have a panini, you get, I mean, a lot of times they are flatter, but like you get a panini and it's a little bit more beefy. I can only imagine how much ham they're putting in on that, because I thought I put an absurd amount of ham on. They must, oh my God, I couldn't even imagine. Like, does half the pig go on the sandwich? I mean, how much ham goes on a panini sandwich to actually make it where you actually feel like you're eating something and not, you know who has the saddest panini sandwiches? Actually, Panera. Every time I get a panini sandwich from there, I'm like, why do I even bother? But anyway, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. And it really made me think about how many times we are eating out and our portions are not even close to what we would have given ourselves at home. And a lot of times, you know, we'll take it home and maybe have it for another meal, but there's a problem in that, because remember we were talking about portions, high sodium, high sugar. Well, even if we say, okay, well, I only eat out once a week. Well, do you really only dine out once a week, or do you dine out really twice a week? Because now you're taking that leftovers home and maybe having it for a second or even a third meal. I've seen some restaurants where the portions are absurd. And I know people love going to them because they have big portions, but now we're continuously eating this unhealthy food that's high in sodium, high in sugar. And then we're wondering why we continuously not lose weight, Even if we only dine out one day a week, you're not dining out one day a week. You're really dining out 2 or 3 days a week, depending if there's leftovers. So this is where we really have to be mindful. Now, when it comes to sodium, whenever you go to a restaurant, I always recommend anybody, if you order anything, tell them no salt. Because I can guarantee you a chef amount of salt and a normal person amount of salt is grossly different. So when I was creating the Plate of Food cookbook with my co-author Paige, she is a trained chef. When she salts the water of her pasta, and I always wondered why her pasta was so good. Like, this girl has really good pasta. We buy the same pasta. We cooked it the same way. I thought we did not, because her salting the water and my salting the water was like a 1-to-10 ratio. I did not even come close to salting the water like she did. And now, okay, I understood why her pasta was so much better, because I don't think I could ever put in that much salt in the water. But this is kind of the differences when we're talking about chefs cooking, like talking about cooking and eating out, and versus home cooking. Like, it's just different. And, you know, even something like chicken. Chicken, it has kind of just a wah, wah taste. It's not like real exciting. Chicken becomes real exciting based on how it's cooked or what it's seasoned with. Chicken is generally heavily seasoned and heavily salted. They don't salt a steak the way they salt a chicken. Totally different. So if you're wondering why you go out, and maybe you went out and actually had a pretty healthy dinner, and you're wondering why the next morning you're retaining water, well, it's probably because of the absurd amount of salt on your chicken. So if you're going to go out, have fun, eat great. But you know what? Maybe just tell them not to salt the food. You could salt it at the table. That's usually my go-to, because, you know, it's just, it's an easier way than that. Another trick when it comes to sodium is when you have high sodium, high potassium actually helps manage it. So one of the things you could do if you're having chicken, let's say you really love this place that makes chicken, French fries, unsalted French fries are actually, potatoes are a really great source of sodium, so potassium, so is spinach. So you could do chicken and spinach and French fries and have a great meal, and that potassium will help override some of that sodium, not a lot of it, but some of it. So that's why I always recommend, like, going out, greens are great to eat out. Again, watch how much sodium. That's where, again, I'm just going to tell you again, like, tell them to hold the salt. You'll salt at the table, because what you're going to salt with and what they're going to salt with is going to be grossly different. And the next thing is, a lot of times it's high sugar. So when even tomato sauces in a lot of restaurants have sugar, there is sugar added to a lot of food that you yourself at home would never add in. I remember making a meal with, actually it was the chicken thighs. If you ever have the Plate of Food cookbook, there is the blood orange and fennel chicken thigh recipe. Let me tell you, hands down, out of that a whole cookbook, I probably make this at least, especially over the winter, like 2 times a week, or at least once a week, because it's so good. And I'll change out the vegetables and the citrus and stuff like that. But we drizzled maple syrup over it. I think it was maple syrup. And I remember when she was doing this, I was like, you're putting maple syrup on chicken? I'm like, I thought it was like the most monstrous thing to do. It was not. It was the most delicious thing to do. And she was telling me, actually, in the food service industry, she goes, maple syrup, honey goes on a lot of your food. And I was like, what? Like, this to me was mind blowing. If any of you probably worked in a kitchen, you're like, yeah, you have no idea. And it was just, and this is why we wonder why when we're dining out, we have such a hard time losing weight, is because what they're doing to the food to make it taste as amazing as it is not things that you would generally do at home. Even if you do salt your pasta water, you're not salting it at a restaurant unless you're a trained chef generally. It's just different. And this is what makes dining out and losing weight so hard. So when it comes to sugar, you know, you can often ask them if there's any sugar added into the recipes. You can have this conversation. I always like to, though, I hate, aside from asking for no salt, really don't like having to modify chef dishes. I kind of almost feel it's a little disrespectful in a way. I mean, unless I need to for something, but a lot of times these dishes are crafted by chefs, unless you're at like a Red Robin's. They're crafted by chefs, and this is something that they're proud of. It's like asking, you know, Monet to change something that you don't like in his painting, it's kind of hard for me to do, right? So a lot of times I will choose restaurants that are a little bit more fresh, that I know are a little bit better on things. You can ask them if there's any added sugar on it. I generally tend to stay away from a lot of stews, because a lot of those will start adding in things that I generally wouldn't add in at home. Fish is kind of always my go-to. I don't really cook fish at home. So I love fresh seafood, fish tacos. Man, if there is a restaurant and they're serving fish tacos, I am probably ordering the fish tacos. That's just my go-to meal. But it's things like that. So there's ways that we can eat a little bit healthier, making sure we're properly hydrated throughout the day and things like that. But that's when we see people struggling to lose weight and we see that they're constantly dining out, it's usually because big portions, so high calories, high sodium, and higher sugar contents. And I should add in, and higher fat contents, like the amount of butter, again, and the amount of fat that we would use at home is going to be drastically different than what a restaurant is going to use, because fat, sugar, sodium, all adds flavor. You know, even if you're not, I think a lot of us just, we think of sugar based on sodas or drinks or desserts, but a lot of times in restaurants, it goes beyond that. So it's just stuff to be mindful of and things that we can work through. So if you're a shift worker and you know you generally have a tendency to dine out a lot just because maybe your shift times, it's quicker to grab and go things, try to grab things individualized. And what I mean by that, so a few years ago, we went on Hot Rod Power Tour, and me and my husband, we were camping in our tent, and we brought nothing with us. We brought like a sleeping bag, a tent. Like when I say we had nothing, we have nothing to prepare food. We were very unprepared for this. But one of the things that we ended up doing is we would go to the grocery store and get the rotisserie chickens and a Caesar salad. So we were doing rotisserie and a salad almost every other night was what we were doing. And that's a great thing. I love the rotisserie chickens. And now Costco has a no sodium or a low sodium rotisserie chicken. So if you work in shifts and you have access to a Costco, make sure that chicken, if you like chicken, roasted chicken, keep that in your fridge. That is a simple grab and go, couple pieces of chicken, an apple, maybe a couple carrots. You know, a lot of times I have seen the best thing that some of my shift workers could do that fits their meal times or schedules and stuff like that is compartmentalizing meals, where they might eat, you know, some cucumbers and some carrots and an apple and then some chicken or whatever it is. Now, I will tell you about a really cool hack that it's actually becoming another trend, and it's been things that we have been doing for years. Any of you have sensitivity to blood sugar? Proteins and fibers need to be eaten first over carbs. And this is really, and it's kind of cool. There's another channel, and I forget what it was called, but there was another, I think it was Instagram, that had the channel where he actually tested his blood sugar eating different foods and different things. And it's interesting because he has the continuous glucose monitor. So you can see how different foods and combining of different foods really controls things. Like, for example, if you're going to have broccoli, pasta, chicken, if you actually eat the broccoli, the chicken, and the pasta, your blood sugar will be more stable than eating the pasta, broccoli, chicken. And it's funny because we've kind of known this for blood sugar, that proteins and fibers, you really want the fiber to help slow the digestive process down. You want the protein to build things up. If you're going to have a piece of chocolate, make sure there's a fiber or protein in there to help your body monitor that blood sugar a little, or moderate that blood sugar a little bit. It's funny because I'm hypoglycemic, and I think we've talked about this before on the podcast. And a lot of times people, when my blood sugar gets too low, the thing is, oh, well, you just need more sugar. That is probably one of the most dangerous things I can do if I don't have a protein with it. So if someone's like, a lot of times my husband will be like, oh, let's just take some Skittles. That will raise my blood sugar for like half a second and drop me lower. Now, if I were to have something like Skittles, I wouldn't do Skittles because Skittles, it's just any of that gummy candy just really messes with my sugar. But if I was to do like a piece of milk chocolate and then have some almonds with it, that's going to be the best scenario of raising my blood sugar. And actually, I think we've talked about this before. One of the best things to raise my blood sugar quickly, but I have to follow it up with a protein, is Coke. Like not cocaine, like Coca-Cola. Let me clarify that. Coca-Cola, that will raise my blood sugar the best. than anything else. And I, a lot of times if my blood sugar drops throughout the day, I always feel like I'm chasing my blood sugar. Like it just never fully stabilizes. If I can get a Coke in, a lot of times I won't have these wonky ups and downs that I do otherwise. I don't know if it has something to do with some of the herbs in it. Someone once told me that they use cinnamon and ginger and things like that, but I'm pretty sure Coca-Cola at this time is using all artificial stuff. I don't know if it's really using any real cinnamon or ginger. I don't know if that's the case, but it is interesting. Out of anything, it can't, like, Coca-Cola is the best. Like Sprite, Dr. Pepper, none of them do it. Well, I haven't tried Dr. Pepper. None of them do it. But Coca-Cola does. And one of the worst fruits for my blood sugar, and it's funny because that TikTok channel I was talking about that does the blood sugar testing, oranges, he did a thing with orange juice and an orange, and they both like really raised his blood sugar. And it's funny because oranges for me are one of the worst. Like it doesn't even matter if my blood sugar is stable. The moment I eat an orange or have orange juice, my blood sugar the rest of the day will be unstable. It's just whatever it is with an orange, it just does not work for me. But I think that's a lot of different foods for a lot of different people. So it's things like that, being mindful of what foods will affect you. But a lot of times also too, going back to dining out, that blood sugar instability that can be caused by higher sugar content than what you're used to, or maybe you're going out to dinner and you're having a soda, you're having a dessert, maybe you're having, you know, a pasta that has more sugar. That's a lot of sugar that you would be normally be not used to. So that's going to spike anybody's blood sugar a little bit. So it's just something to think about, something to, you know, think about when you're dining out and if you're trying to lose weight, how you can keep things a little bit better. But really, if you're trying to lose weight, minimize dining out. And keep your dining out to that one meal, because that's really helpful, unless you're spending a ridiculous amount of money going to really fresh restaurants and, you know, really good places, then by all means, go for it. But if you're conscious of your wallet and you're conscious of how, you know, reaching your goals, be mindful of it. So if you're struggling to lose weight and you want some extra help, or you're struggling to reach any health goal and you want some extra help, extra accountability, maybe let's put a plan in place. Visit shifthealthcoach.com. You can schedule a free 15-minute consultation with me, or go ahead and book an hour and you walk away with a plan. I hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. I'll talk to you all next week.